Hey everyone, how y'all doing? My name is Evan, if we haven't ever met before, and I'm a follower of Christ, and I'm really excited to be here with y'all tonight. I'm excited to talk with y'all tonight. I think, I've been looking on like Facebook a lot recently, and pictures of graduation have been popping a lot. It's making me think back to 3 years ago when I graduated. Every time I think through that, my palms kind of start to sweat as I think through like the finals and everything like that. And so I'm really fortunate that we don't have finals in the real world anymore once you graduate. So that is a nice transition from whenever you get there. But those are like times that you really have to like work hard a lot and put in a lot of effort throughout that. And I started thinking back to like my time in college, what that looked like. I went to this school called Belmont that was in Nashville, Tennessee. And I had, two semesters while I was there that really stick out to me as being on kind of complete opposite ends of the spectrum of like super intense work versus the opposite of that. And so neither one of those actually happened while I was in Nashville at the school that I went to. They're both other places. So one semester, it was the spring semester of my sophomore year, I did this thing that probably haven't heard of in here. It's called the Disney College Program. And so I, like many people that do the college program or that work for Disney, I had always dreamed of working for Disney. I believed it was gonna be the absolute best thing. That's actually why I was most excited to go to college, because I knew that opened up the door to working at Disney World. So came down here, worked at Enchanted Tales with Belle. This was like right after it opened too, and so I was super pumped to be there. It was really magical, really enjoyed working there. Of course, it didn't take long to realize like, wow, I am actually working here, not just playing in the parks. Like I actually have to like clock in and out and like put in a lot of hours here. And slowly, I realized, wow, they really work you a lot here. Like, it's not just a few like quick shifts and then you go ride on Big Thunder Mountain Railroad. No, there's like sometimes 6 days a week. That's fun. And then 14-hour shifts are not uncommon at all. I actually went back and I started reading through like my journal that I had from whenever I was working there, and it got to like, I don't know, President's Week or something like that. And I was writing like, it's so hard to stay magical. Why are people so mean right now? Why am I working so much? I haven't seen my roommates in forever. I remember I was fortunate enough to work the 24-hour event at the Magic Kingdom. I foolishly thought this was going to be fun. My shift was 4 p.m. to 4 a.m., and I completely lost my voice at the end of that. It was something. But like, so really, by the time it got to the end of my college program, I was so stressed out. And honestly, I'd been like working so much, I was relieved to go back to school. I mean, I love Disney, obviously enough. I'm back here now. I moved back here the second I graduated. But it was rough for a period of time. And then on the opposite end of the spectrum there, my senior year, I moved to Los Angeles. My school had this program where you could like do a semester-long program there where you're supposed to get an internship and network and stuff like that. I didn't. I just went to Los Angeles and played for a semester, basically. It was one of those things like, you know, typically like if you're asked, hey, if money's no object and you could like do anything, a lot of times we'll say travel and, you know, like watch Netflix all day. You know, those would be like dream scenarios. Well, I didn't actually really have much money and overdrew my bank account many times, but I just went to the beach and went to Disneyland all the time. And because school, like I had to show up for class like once or twice a week, but it was super easy stuff. And I honestly thought I was like living the dream at the time, but I was far away in Los Angeles where really didn't have just a handful of friends, zero accountability, a lot of free time, and that just led to absolutely nothing helpful. So I was looking back on both these semesters, both these seasons that I had while I was at college. One is this trap that so many of us fall into, this overworked, this, you know, thing that we feel like we don't have a choice within. And then the other end of the spectrum of thinking like, oh, that would be the dream if I could just relax all the time and not worry about anything. But the truth is, we're not actually meant to function in either one of those areas. Neither of those are really helpful for us. And these two scenarios, they seem normal. They seem like things that so many of us fall into, but I have to believe that God actually has something far better for us than either of these mentalities. And so we're talking about spiritual disciplines right now. We're in our month 5 of spiritual disciplines that we're going through as a community this entire year of 2018. And so that brings us to our one that we have for tonight. So if you want to open up your Bible to Genesis. Now, if you are not familiar with the Bible, new to it, welcome. But Genesis, it's going to be the first book that's there. And we are going to be in chapter 2 of it right now. Now, I'll give you a quick recap. Chapter 1 of Genesis is where creation happens. That is the beginning of time, essentially, as far as we're concerned with it. And so within 6 days, God creates the heavens and the earth. He creates the plants, the animals, literally everything that you see. He creates mankind as well. And then after this pretty busy 6 days, I mean, I thought I was busy working at Disney, but this is far busier than spring break at Disney World. He was up to a lot of stuff. He was doing a lot of really good work. But after those 6 days, let's turn to Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. Let's see what's going on. It says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation." So God spends 6 days, pretty busy 6 days, making literally everything. And then on the seventh day, he stopped. He rested. He took a break. And whenever I read that phrase, "he rested," I don't have much of a concept what that actually means, because whenever I think of rest, I think of myself like lying on a hammock at a beach or something like that. Like, that's the most restful thing I can imagine. It's hard for me to put that in context with God, the God of the universe. I don't have a concept for understanding what rest means when it refers to him. So the word that is used there is Shabbat. When it says God rested, it uses that word Shabbat, and it means to cease, to stop, to be complete. So that's exactly what God did. He stopped working. He took a day of rest, and that's where we get the word Sabbath from. And now on day 6 of this week that God is existing in here, that we read about in Genesis, that's when mankind was created. And it's really cool to think about, because on day 6, they're created. God's been creating everything else. And then day 7, which would have been, mankind's day 2, so Adam and Eve, that is their welcoming present. They just get a day to rest and relax and just enjoy all of creation that is around them, and that's what they get to exist in. And now, this is at the very beginning. Keep in mind, this is the first 2 chapters of Genesis here. This is before sin enters. This is the perfect, beautiful existence that God designed and God created for mankind. There's a few quotes that I have that kind of really wrap this up and put a beautiful picture on it. A.J. Swoboda, he wrote this book called Subversive Sabbath, and he says, "Why do we Sabbath? Genesis says we Sabbath first because God kept a Sabbath. And second, because God built it into the DNA of creation. And it is therefore something creation needs in order to flourish." And then John Mark Comer, he's a pastor of a church in Portland, Oregon. And he wrote this book called Garden City, where he says, "Sabbath isn't just a day to not work. It's a day to delight in what one Hebrew poet called the work of our hands, to delight in the life you've carved out in partnership with God, to delight in the world around you, and to delight in God himself. Sabbath is a day to pull up a chair, to sink in, look back over the work of the last 6 days, and just enjoy." Now, it's fun to look at Sabbath within the context of this perfect existence at the beginning of Genesis and think, oh yeah, well of course that was easy for them. Why wouldn't it have been? But then shortly after this all happens, shortly after, you know, God creates the heavens and the earth and Adam and Eve are created, sin enters in pretty quickly. And that makes it very difficult to Sabbath. That makes it very difficult to actually exist in this restful mindset because humanity is broken, humanity is fallen, and it no longer exists in this perfect realm and perfect pattern like God created. And so we're gonna fast forward to Exodus. Now, I'm jumping a lot here, but if you need a better overview of what I'm skipping over, the Prince of Egypt is a great resource if you want to go to that, which is one of the best movies, or if you also would like to actually read the account in Exodus there, that'll be helpful. I would recommend doing both. If you have to pick one, I guess, read the Bible. But anyway, so a lot happened since sin entered the world. A lot happened since that the creation account. And it led up to the Israelites, God's chosen people, being enslaved in Egypt under Pharaoh. And one thing that a slave doesn't get the opportunity to do is rest. They don't have the chance to take a break and enjoy creation, enjoy what is around them. And so whenever they are finally delivered, whenever Moses leads them out of enslavement, out of exile, or out of this slavery that they're existing in, they're wandering through the wilderness. And what God then offers them is the Ten Commandments. And now one of those, we're gonna look in Exodus 28. Exodus is the next book over from there. So Exodus 28, God says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So after the Israelites, after, you know, they're wandering in the wilderness here, they have the not so distant memory just right before then of being enslaved, being so scared, overworked, everything. God gives them this gift of a rest in the form of this commandment because it is that important to him. Now, for us, living in 2018 in America, we look at these Ten Commandments. So this one command that we just read is one of 10 there. And there's things like, do not murder, do not steal, do not lie. And we don't argue with these things. We don't look at them and say, oh, well, I really wanted to murder someone, but I can't, you know. No, we don't do that, except typically for this command on the Sabbath. And we look at that and we have to think it's because this doesn't really fit into our lives. It doesn't fit into the pattern that we've created. It doesn't fit into this existence that we have here. Because when it comes to the Sabbath, we don't want to take a break. We don't understand what it means. Or taking an entire day to rest, it feels selfish. Or we feel like we're missing out. We get FOMO. Here within our context, earlier I was talking about college. We're raised up to, you know, work hard and go to college and then get a job and climb up this corporate ladder. And of course, there are good elements of that. But it leads to us being overworked and stressed out. And we get anxiety and all that. But fortunately, for us here in this room, we all live here in Orlando, where it's a vacation destination. So we don't have to worry about any of those things, right? I mean, at least that's what many friends and family members or guests who come to the parks like to think sometimes. Of course, since we are here at Disney World, you know, when we're not working, we're just playing on a ride or on our lunch break. I actually had someone ask me this the other day, if I go ride on Rock and Roller Coaster during my lunch break at work. And unfortunately, that is not the case. But no, we we don't have it any easier just because we live at Disney World or we work in this environment here. No, it's tough for us. It's like I talked about at the beginning. We work while other people are playing. We have these long hours. We are, a lot of times, work 6 days. And if you're anything like me, probably not making a ton of money wherever you're working there. So it makes you think that you need to pick up more hours and just contribute more into the cycle. But all this to say, we enjoy Disney. We enjoy this environment that we work in. So we continue to do it. But where this leads, though, it can lead to stress. It can lead to anxiety. It leads to burnout. That's why so often here we see the burnout rate being so high. People oftentimes don't last very long here. They'll move back home or they'll move to wherever they came from or try out something new. But the reality of it is that Sabbath, it's un-American. It's inconvenient. And honestly, we want any excuse possible to write it off. Fortunately, though, for us, Jesus has some, he speaks into this area for us here. He speaks in to this overworked, stressed out mentality that we have. Turn to Matthew 11, 28 through 30. This is going to be in the New Testament. It's the first book that's going to be there in that New Testament. It's going to say, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Now, it's easy for us to, get caught up in the intricacies that can exist with Sabbath and think, what's our place? You know, it's not necessary anymore. That's why we look at the Ten Commandments and try to write this one off, because we don't want it to fit into our lives. But Jesus is offering us rest. Jesus is offering this invitation to have fullness in him, have freedom in him. And now this thought that we have of thinking that it's not necessary or trying to find this rhythm and trying to implement this into our lives is something that even Jesus spoke into. Now, because work can be kind of an ambiguous term, you know, it's whenever you hear work, you have to think, what does that actually mean for us? How does this apply to my life? Does it count as work for me walking up my stairs to get to my bedroom? Is driving work? You know, what are these, where does that come into play here? And the Pharisees at the time when Jesus was around, they built up all these rules and regulations that would go along with this, all these restrictions to kind of bind you in so you could say, this is not work, this is, you know, and it really became very, very strict. And so Jesus was often pretty heavily criticized for what he would do on the Sabbath. If you look through the Gospels, you'll see Jesus many times performed a lot of healing and miracles specifically on the Sabbath. And people would criticize him for that, and people weren't really happy with them. But in Mark 2, 27 through 28, Jesus says, and he said to them, "The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath." See that the Sabbath was made for man. It's really easy to get caught up in regulations, get caught up in, well, should I do this or should I do that? Or what's all the regulations or whatever that can come with that. But we have to fall back to realize that the Sabbath, when it comes down to it, is a gift. The Sabbath is an opportunity, a beautiful gift that God offers to us. John Mark Comer has this quote. He says, "Jesus is the embodiment of the Sabbath. He's the seventh day in flesh and blood. We can come to him and find rest, not just on the Sabbath, but all week long." Now, what does Sabbath even look like for us? How do we get into a rhythm where we can begin to think that this is something that we should apply to our lives? Because like we were saying, this is contrary to our society. This is contrary to what we would normally engage in or how we think we should function within our society. But first, let's know that Jesus frees us from legalism. Jesus frees us from stress or anxiety that we might have, and he's offering us a lifeline right here in the form of a Sabbath. Now, I will tell y'all, for me, if there is any opportunity for me to become legalistic or pharisaical about something, I will always take it. I really like rules and stuff like that. And so a lot of times when I think about Sabbath, my stress level just thinking about it just goes through the roof because I start to think, well, am I going to fail at this? You know, what is right or wrong? How do I even begin to implement this here? But fortunately, by looking at Jesus and by looking at the freedom that he offers us here, he provides guardrails in this path to life here. And within that, there's so much freedom on how we can exist within Sabbath so that we can actually truly find the gift and the freedom that exists within that. So first of all, the first thing that we can do with this is to find a 24-hour period that you have that you can offer up to God, that you can set aside. If your palms start to sweat whenever I say that, though, start wherever you're at. There's the one thing that I want you to take away. Don't miss the point. This is exclusively to find rest and worship with God. And so if you can't start with a 24-hour period right now, start with a half day, set aside a few hours, slowly build your way up into this 24-hour period. But after we've got that, then we start to filter how we view things. Now, whenever I start my Sabbath in the morning times, whenever I do that, I typically wake up and I make coffee on my Chemex. Now, if you're not familiar with the Chemex, it is basically hipster nonsense that you make coffee and on a very it's got a glass container, everything, and filters and all that. But it makes the best coffee. It's so good, so good. But it's got these filters that, like, I don't know why they're more special than other filters, but they are. And they only let, like, the best, purest liquid, whatever, come out of it. And so on my Sabbath mornings, that's whenever I slow down and I filter out my coffee and I just enjoy this cup of coffee. And that's what I want us to think about as we're entering into Sabbath. So I made us a diagram or whatever, or a chart or something. It's a little complex, so I hope y'all can all grasp it here. The first question that we're going to ask on our Sabbath is, one, is it work? So, yeah, is it work? Don't do it. It's as simple as that. And keep in mind, work is more than just what we get paid for. So obviously, we all have our normal jobs that we clock in and out of, and that's where we get our check. And so obviously, you're not going to be Sabbathing when you're doing that. That is not work. But there's other things besides that. So, for example, I do the Star Wars Guided Tour at Hollywood Studios. So I'm talking about Star Wars a lot. On my Sabbath, I don't want to watch Star Wars. And I don't want to even think about Star Wars, honestly. I love Star Wars, and it's so fun, and I love the tour that I get to do. But I need a day that has nothing to do with Star Wars, because if I talk about lightsaber, my anxiety level will go through the roof, and I think there's a kid that's trying to run away. I don't know. And so I don't do that. Other things that maybe work, I do like freelance graphic design, so that's not something that I'm doing at Disney, but I don't touch it whenever I'm on my Sabbath. Because a Sabbath, it is different than a day off. A day off is a day that you go run errands. It's a day that you do grocery shopping, that you clean up around the house. A Sabbath is an intentional day of rest. That brings us to our second filter, which is it rest and worship? If it is, if it can fit through those two criteria, do it. Go for it. Don't hold back. If it only hits one of those, maybe doesn't really get the other, there's six other days for that. Sabbath is a day for rest and worship. Now, John Mark Comer, he has this one more quote. I know I've had a lot of John Mark Comer quotes. These all come from this book, Garden City. If you haven't read it, please go read it. It's so, so good. I just want to say that. But he has this quote in it, the last one I'll share, I think. It's, Sabbath isn't just a pause button. It's a full, complete, total system restart. We power down, we cool off, we let the fan wind down, and then reboot. Sabbath is a chance to take a long, hard look at our lives and to retune what really matters. And when we see stuff in our life that is out of whack, then we turn to Jesus and he comes and does his healing Sabbath work. Now, I've been practicing Sabbath intentionally since January. This is when I started trying to at least implement this as a pattern into my life. And I can honestly say that this is where I've been able to see God do his best, deepest, sometimes painful, but really good soul work. This is where I'm able to see, experience so much intimacy with Jesus because you set aside, you limit distractions, you aren't working, you're limiting your, I don't know, access to the outside world, access to things that cause stress or anxiety, and you just focus on spending time with Jesus. And so, as we're thinking about how to actually do this, Sabbath is going to look different for literally every single one of us because we're just looking at through those filters. Is it work? Don't do it. Is it rest and worship? Go for it. So if you are an introvert, it's going to look so much different than if you're an extrovert. And that's okay. That's great. And those are things that we can think through. So I'm not going to tell you exactly how to Sabbath because there's freedom in that. There's opportunities for you in that. I will, however, share a few things that have been really, really helpful for me. So for one, for me, I look at this as a day to not accomplish anything. And I'm trying to learn to be okay with that. At the beginning, it was hard and it's still hard. Today was part of my Sabbath and it was a struggle at some points. But because how I do my Sabbath, it's me and I have three other roommates and we've tried to orient it as a household here. But we start on a Saturday night at 5:00. Runs to Sunday at 5:00. This is just the perfect opportunity. We get our evening going right. So we will start off sometimes, we'll maybe go get dinner together or go get takeout, things like that. Sometimes we'll go to Jeremiah's, which just opened up, or you know, whatever it may be. And then we'll maybe play games, watch a movie, things like that. We'll go to sleep early in the morning. I don't set my alarm clock. I just let myself sleep in to whenever I want. And I don't feel guilty about it. I don't feel like I'm not accomplishing anything. Normally, during the week, I don't drink any Cokes. On the Sabbath, I can drink as many Cokes as I want. Normally, I don't watch Netflix during the week. On Sabbath, I can watch Netflix if I want to. I don't really binge because I don't think that's helpful. But, you know, I offer myself freedom that I can do whatever I think goes through those filters there. One Sabbath, I think my roommates, they were, you know, busy or whatever, and so I impulsively bought tickets to go see Lion King. So that fit into my category of rest and worship. What I want you to know is that you don't have to set rules or strict, harsh regulations for yourself. This is a gift that God is offering us. He wants you to find rest in him. He wants you to seek intimacy with him and have a day where you can just delight in his creation. So figure out, what are the things that are life-giving for you? What are the things that draw you closer to God? What allows you to worship? What invites rest for you? For many of us here, we're single. And so that is also going to affect how we Sabbath. So it would be awesome if as a community or within a group of friends or whatever, you would align your Sabbaths together. So maybe have Sabbath dinner that you could all engage into or you know, plan activities or whatever it may be. Just because community is a great thing that we can celebrate within Sabbath. So whatever it takes to point you closer to Jesus and to allow you to rest and just enjoy in his creation. And it becomes like this, I don't know, mini holiday that you have once a week. I think like whenever it's like Christmas or something that you look forward to, but just thinking that you have this day like Christmas, like this holiday, whatever that you look forward to, that happens every single week. And it is an opportunity where you stop, where you have no responsibilities, where you don't have to work, there's no one depending on you, and you're not letting anyone down, there's no responsibilities or anything, but you just get to stop, delight in the Lord, and allow that to refuel you and carry you into your week. You can reflect back on your week and remember why God is faithful. Remember how he loves you. Be thankful for the work that you got to do and allow that to fuel you through the next part of your week here. Now I'm gonna go ahead and invite the band. Y'all can come back up here right now. But before God actually gave the Ten Commandments. So in the book of Exodus back there, the Israelites, they're out of slavery now. They're wandering through the wilderness. They're right at the beginning of that. And they're starting to get a little antsy because they're in the wilderness. They're getting scared. They're fearful. And they don't have any food. They don't know what to do. They don't really know what's going on. They're just wandering out there. And they're starting to complain. They're starting to complain to Moses saying, why in the world did we even leave Egypt? At least when we were there, we had food. We knew what was going to happen. It wasn't great, but we knew what to expect from our lives. We shouldn't have even left. We're going to starve out here. That is what they're arguing, and that's what they're saying. But God provides. What God does in his next, immediately after that, is he provides food for them. He provides manna, which literally means, what is it? They didn't know what it was. It appeared on the ground out there, and it was something that they could gather and pick up and eat it for the day. God provided it just for each day, every morning when they would wake up. The manna would be out there on the ground. They would gather it, take whatever they needed, and take that into their day with them. However, on the sixth day, there was twice as much there. I'm going to read a little bit from Exodus for you. It's from Exodus 16, but it'll be up on the screen. You don't need to look it up right now, unless you want to. It says, this is what the Lord has commanded. Tomorrow is a day of solemn rest, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil. And all that is left over, lay aside to be kept till the morning. So they laid it aside till the morning as Moses commanded them, and it did not stink. There were no worms in it. Moses said, eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord. Today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is a Sabbath, there will be none. See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, on the sixth day, he gives you bread for 2 days. Remain each of you in his place. Let no one go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. So on that sixth day, God allowed them to gather twice as much. They needed to in order to make it through that seventh day, which was a gift of the Sabbath, which was a reminder that God had rescued them out of slavery, which was a reminder that God would provide for them, a reminder that God cared for them and would see them through their time in the wilderness for however long that would be or for whatever that would look like for them. So as we reflect over this passage, as we reflect over this idea of Sabbath and ways to implement into our lives, I want us to remember that Sabbath is a gift, but it is also an opportunity to trust in God. Are we going to believe that, and if we take this break, if we take this 24-hour day with no distractions, with nothing that is going to block us from God, that he's going to provide, that he's going to sustain us, that he'll give us exactly what we need to make it through our next week there. I'm going to pray for us. Dear Lord, Father, thank you for caring for us. Thank you for caring for our emotional health and our physical health, our well-being, and providing for us a day that is set aside in rest and worship, a day we don't have to feel selfish for not doing anything, for accomplishing anything, but instead a day that is just set aside for you, Lord. Father, I pray that you give us opportunities to implement this into our lives, that you give us the courage, reveal to us ways that we can step deeper and deeper into trusting you with our time and trusting you with this, Lord. Father, be with us in this final time as we're going to be singing. Reveal to us ways that we can seek deeper intimacy with you. Amen.